Thanks for spending time with us all on the green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. On Veterans Day, more than 20,000 students in all 50 states will be treated to video stories read aloud by active duty service members. The Storytime with a Service Member event, held by the nonprofit United Through Reading, gives young students a chance to connect with service members and highlights how crucial it is to keep our youth reading, a growing challenge in today's digital age when children have multiple distractions at their fingertips. In this edition of Enlighten Me, Delaware Public Media's Kyle McKinnon speaks with Melanie Sheridan, Director of Marketing and Communications for United Through Reading, about story time with a service member and teaching a child to love the act of reading.
All right, Melanie, you are indeed a military spouse and mom, so I'd say you're the foremost authority today. Let's start with some background, though, on story time with a service member. What was the reasoning behind starting it, and how long has this been going on?
This is our third year doing this, and we really wanted to try to bridge some of the gap between the military and the civilian world, particularly when it comes to the classroom. We wanted to be able to, you know, bring uniformed, or in some cases when we have veterans who are doing this, non-uniformed service members into classrooms as a way to kind of maybe help some of the civilian kids understand a little bit about what their military counterparts might be going through. You know, we understand that, you know, when someone signs up to serve in the military, it's the whole family that serves. You know, kids serve too is one of our phrases. And, you know, so sometimes, you know, the adults in the room, so to speak, the teachers, administrators, they understand that when their military kids might be sad or angry or possibly, you know, acting out in the classroom, it may have to do with a deployment or, you know, some type of home situation where their military family member, dad, whoever is away, and it's causing that stress. And so we wanted to help some of the kids in the classroom understand that what this lifestyle is like, because if you're not in the lifestyle, you don't really get it. So we want to try to help these other kids get it to the best of our ability. And bringing in a service member, having them talk about, hey, this is, you know, who I am. Nice to meet you. This is what I do in the military. And you know, maybe that will help garner a little bit of empathy and understanding between the military and the civilian community of those kids.
Yeah. And can you speak a little more to some of what you just had to say as far as the duality here goes in the value of service members connecting with kids and essentially teaching young readers to love reading in their own way? Can you speak to the importance in our modern world of both of those things and why they pair so well together?
You know, I think especially for younger kids who are participating, you know, the kindergartners, the elementary school kids, you hear service member and it's a very broad term. You know, the military is a big term, and we wanted to help humanize it. We wanted to help put some faces behind those uniforms. Sometimes some of the kids, it's like, hey, that's my family member is the one who gets to record the video that they all watch. So humanizing the people behind the uniforms and having those kids understand that these are the people in your community, you know, who are the people in your neighborhood. And then as far as just story time is such a powerful word. You know, it's like you can think about when you were a child and what it meant to have someone read you a story and the emotions and the feelings behind that. So, you know, one of the things that we do at United Through Reading is that we want to keep people connected, particularly the military family connected, using story time. And then to your point about the academics, there's a whole lot of research about how being read to helps with literacy and learning and not having kids just try to decipher on their own. There's a whole lot of synapses and things that are happening in your brain when you're learning to read, you know, the process of learning to read, that this is a letter. Letters make sounds. Sounds make words. Words make sentences. And all of these things are happening while they're learning to read. And so for kids who are possibly struggling with that process, having somebody read to them and being able to follow along with the book, it can help those synapses even better. It's like, ah, I may not recognize that word. I've heard that word. And then they can, again, piece, when I see these letters in this combination, that's what that word is. And so just the magic of all the things that can happen in kids' brains when they're being read to is just phenomenal. So knowing that we're able to provide, you know, again, for the military community, these videos of their family members reading to them, and we send the book home. You know, that's one of the benefits of our service is that anybody who makes a recording, we will also send the book home, and it's free of charge for them, for the military family. And then again, for the schools, for Jim just to have a peek inside what it's like to be a military family.
So in terms, you mentioned the books, in terms of how this works, how do you figure out what books are fitting and might, you know, spark that curiosity or that interest from young readers? Is that something United Through Reading decides, or is it the service members that decide on, you know, the book that's going to be read, or is that, you know, a collaborative process?
It's kind of collaborative because what we want to make sure is that these classrooms have the playlist that we're going to send out will have, you know, roughly 15 to possibly 20 videos in it, and we break them down by age group. That way, each of the teachers, you know, they get this list. It's going to be an unlisted YouTube link. They'll be able to sort through and say, I've got a classroom of kids, you know, in this X range. This story would be most appropriate for them. So we want to give them, you know, a broad range so that they can pick what fits best in with what they're learning, you know, at the moment and where they are in the kids' reading skills. And, you know, for the older kids, you know, we're not going to read, you know, like a board book, you know, to the older kids. So we want it broken up by age. And then we're also really trying to bring a little bit of a multicultural element to that. So as of now, I believe we have one story in Spanish that's been recorded in Spanish. And we also have one story that's in American Sign Language. So again, it's a way for maybe some of these kids have never seen American Sign Language before. And if that sparks their interest in anything, if that gets them, you know, talking about that, what is, you know, American Sign Language? I want to learn American Sign Language. And again, if they have a deaf or hard of hearing member in their classroom, just another connection piece and another touch point.
Yeah. Well, story time with a service member begins on Veterans Day and goes throughout the entire week. What kind of feedback have you received through these recent years? You know, is there anything that sticks out, I guess, in your mind, whether it's from service members, you know, teachers, parents, or kids themselves, whoever that have participated in this, you know, what have you heard?
Teachers, you know, have it's been overwhelmingly positive. They said this was such a unique offering to be able to, you know, some of them have not really told the kids what it's going to be about. You know, we're talking about Veterans Day and we're going to watch a story. And then, wow, up on the screen pops, you know, the service member. And so it's just, again, it's that personal connection. You know, the kids love it. And then I think one of the sweetest ones was a teacher who told us they also incorporated our videos with writing cards to service members. So they did it as a whole classroom project and they found, you know, a unit that they could send some cards to. So again, just knowing that we're helping kids understand what it means to serve and maybe help see each other differently. And again, bring some empathy into the classroom.
Yeah, what a distinct experience it must be. Very formative. Outside of the classroom, then, you know, Melanie, as a mom yourself, I think a lot of parents specifically put a lot of pressure on themselves to help their kids become good readers and you know, good readers that actually enjoy reading. So, what advice, again, as a mom yourself, you know, do you have or might you have for parents that, you know, if they want to raise a reader, you know, how can they create an environment that is conducive or promotes a love of reading?
Well, there's research that says that just the mere presence of books in the home will increase a spark, you know, that interest in reading, and then the reading competency. So I think it was, you know, having anywhere as few as like 20 books in a house can alter kids' perceptions. But there's also making it a habit, so making it a family affair. And I understand, you know, there's a lot of adults who necessarily don't love to read for pleasure, but it's, you know, when your kids see you picking up something, and that could be a newspaper, a magazine. Modeling the behavior that you want to see is always fantastic. But then, if there's parents who don't necessarily love reading, that's where audiobooks come in. You know, we are really big proponents of however kids want to read, let them read. You know, there's a lot of concern about screen time and, you know, things like that. And we totally get that. But if, you know, something is on a Kindle format and that's the only way your kids will read it, don't discourage that. Graphic novels are still books. Audiobooks are still books. So there's ways to incorporate reading and having that become a habit within a family that don't have to be a heavy lift, you know, on the parents per se. And a lot of that technology, I know it's come so far with, I mentioned earlier, reluctant readers or struggling readers. There's ways that kids, you know, maybe if they have dyslexia and there's tools out there that can help them enjoy reading, despite whether they may have some difficulty doing it. So, you know, modeling that behavior, having books in the home, making, you know, reading and showing them that reading is formulative. Like good readers make good writers, good readers make good critical thinkers. So it's not just about the, you're not just sitting here reading a book and turning the pages. Again, you're altering your brain and you're making those synapses fire in such ways that it really affects those other areas of their life. You know, if they love science, well, then you need to be able to critically think about the data, you know, that you're going to absorb as a scientist. So reading is it's really foundational.
And so let's say there's a parent, or maybe better yet, a teacher out there who wants to see story time with a service member at their school. What should they do if they're interested in learning more about it and potentially bringing it to a classroom or a school area? How does that work?
Any teacher who wants to get involved with story time with a service member can go to our website, unitedthroughreading.org. You can use the little search bar and do Veterans Day, and we've got a link there. There's a form that's embedded on our website that they fill up or that they fill in. They'll sign up, they'll get a confirmation email from us. We're going to send out those stories ahead of Veterans Day because we know that the timing with it being on, you know, the Monday, some teachers might be doing things ahead of Veterans Day, some might be doing the week after. So we want to make sure that they have those stories in time to incorporate them in their lessons plans. And that link will be available, you know, all week long for them again to watch one story. They can watch all the stories that are in their age group. We don't care. Like, watch as many as you want, watch as many times as you want. We're here, you know, to provide this service for classrooms around the country and even around the world. This, from my understanding, we have Germany and Italy classrooms. We have two signed up there.
Thanks to Melody Sheridan, Director of Marketing and Communications for the nonprofit United Through Reading, and our Kyle McKinnon for enlightening us this week. And with that, we close the book on another edition of The Green. The stories and interviews you've heard are online right now at DelawarePublic.org. Just head to The Green's page on our website. You can also sign up for our weekly newsletter there by clicking Newsletters at the top of the page. And remember, The Green is also available via podcast at our website, as well as Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and the NPR and Delaware Public Media apps. We'd also like to hear from you. Give us your feedback and story ideas on our Facebook page or by emailing us at thegreen@delawarepublic.org. Thanks to all those who helped make this week's show possible, Delaware Public Media's Martin Matheny and Sarah Petrowich, along with our senior producer, Kyle McKinnon. For all of them and the rest of the staff here at Delaware Public Media, I'm Tom Bernsing. Thanks for joining us this week. And we'll see you again next week on The Green, where Delawareans get tuned into A First State of Mind.